And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down. When the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured hundredweight and penny pound. When the man comes around.
And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him.
Of the Ring of Fire. You know that song that Mr. Johnny Cash, one of our favorite singers. Matter of fact, we use his album that Brother Steve sent me years ago. The Johnny Cash, The Man Comes Around. That's one of our theme songs. Well, there's something coming around, and I hope that you're going to be ready for it. Bible said that it's going to come upon everyone unaware. Well, not everyone. The sensitive ones that are looking and listening and waiting and praying and fasting and are able to pick up the signs, if you know what I mean. These things that we're talking about are basically and fundamentally aspects of truth, which is how to throw out the lifeline. Now, the lifeline tonight is very, very thin. It's a ray. It's a vibration. It's something that you wouldn't expect. That's why that the Bible says you will seek him, but you won't find him. Now, that's strange, isn't it? They shall seek me, but they will not find me. Now, what does that mean? How does it relate to this day and time? Because the people, they just really don't know exactly what Yahweh is doing. He said, when he said, they shall seek me, but they will not find me, it means that some people would look for him in such a way that they wouldn't be able to find him because they seek him with visible observation. The Bible says that I don't come with visible observation. Well, how does he come? Well, he comes through vibration. Now, that's how he... It's an electrical sequence, basically. It's not rocket science to find out that Yahweh visits his people in a electric situation. Now, did you know that in the Army, and this information has just been declassified, a friend of mine down in Louisiana passed it on to me, and I'll pass it on to you for whatever it's worth. The Army, this was a psychiatrist that discovered this, when he looked at the information that the Army had gathered talking about the hair, the Army had found out when they had sent out their recruiters, they especially told them to go to the Indian reservations and to get the native Indian who has unique ESP, or is very sensitive, or someone that we would call a sensitive person, and that's what they were looking for, to put them in special forces and reconnaissance and things of this nature. Well, they did so. And they would test them on the reservations, and they had uncanny sensitivity. And this is, of course, what the Army wanted. And they would recruit them and go through the basic 8 weeks. And the first thing you know when you go to the Army, I don't know if you've ever been in there or to the military, the first thing they do is give you a GI haircut. They just cut all your hair off. Well, strangely, these recruits who had tested so good on the reservation and preliminaries, because they were looking for these unique people that could do this, but they lost it, or something happened when they got in. They couldn't even score as good as some of the ones who were not supposed to be sensitive or have ESP, extrasensory perception, abilities. They began to test why that as soon as they came into the military that they had lost this ability. After much testing and cross-referencing, they finally hit upon the problem. And the problem was when they received their military haircuts, they found that they lost their sensitivity. They couldn't pick up like they used to. And so, they would field test again. They commanded that these recruits didn't cut their hair. They let it grow, and they gave them 6 months or a year, and they started the process all over again. They would take some of the one that scored high on the reservation. They would cut their hair, they told them to keep their hair cut. And then those who had the same abilities at the reservation, they told them not to, and then they tested them again, and all of the recruits in the test that left their hair long, that were permitted to grow their hair, they excelled. The ones that had their hair cut, who couldn't score as good as some of just the regular Army personnel that they had tested. But those who let their hair grow, they really went off the chart. And they found out that the hair in some way enhanced the ESP ability. Those with long hair, remember Samson? He had an extraordinary power. Remember Jonathan's son, Jonathan, who had, I don't know, I think he had at least 2 pounds or 3 pounds when they cut his hair, that he had about 2 or more pounds of hair locks on his head. Is there something to long hair? Well, the Bible, the New Testament, it speaks against a man having long hair. And in the West, most men wear their hair short with what we call Western haircuts. Well, in the West, it is a society of people who have less sensitive ability or ESP than in any nation in the East. Nations in the East tend to be more psychic. For instance, if you go into India or the Himalayas, particularly, you find these yogas that can do incredible feats. They can melt snow around them and sit in the cold all night long and never feel and be just as warm the next morning to the touch. That's been documented and proven. And so the mind is a valuable muscle that we have let go. We have actually cut off the connection that makes these psychic abilities a reality. And so then, when the Army posted all of those special trained recruits, they issued an order, a standing order, that they never cut their hair. And then they excelled in their missions and graded top notch. And they were amazed that the hair, as it picks up, it's like an antenna that is on an automobile. If you can have the best radio that ever was, but you can take the antenna off and disconnect it, and you ain't gonna pick up anything. Static and stuff like that. And that's what mankind is basically doing. He's only getting static reactions from the universe or from the cosmic or the fifth dimension of what we're talking about in the age of drawing closer to Yahweh. There is a way that seems right, basically going to church and singing 3 songs and listening to the preacher preach a message and then go home. There's more to it, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to put more into it than that to get out of it what you need. And so then, Yahweh,
and in his intentions for us to grow in grace and knowledge, we need to look at the ways that we can enhance our ability to sense the things that are for us. Now, the Bible says this, if you draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. Now, isn't that strange that these strange phenomenon is happening, and it's the little simple thing. Did you know we're getting back to the little simple things? We're getting back to the old path, where the ancient sages and prophets were such valuable assets in sensing and picking up with the X-ray sensory perception ability, and the hair with its antenna was a measuring fact of the longer the hair, the greater the sensitivity. You say, well, didn't Paul condemn hair when he said to have long hair? We know it's a shame. Now, there is a point where that's true. But there is also a point where that's not true. If your wife, who is supposed to not cut her hair, her hair is her glory. And the Bible specifically says long, L-O-N-G. A woman that has hair to the ground compared to her husband who has hair down to his shoulders. And if you were measuring between the woman's long hair and the man's length of his hair, it would be considered short. Now, we've been taken into the Roman-Greek haircut of cutting the hair up above the ears. And we've got so accustomed to seeing men that way that when they grow their hair down below their collar, we think they're feminine. And that's not basically true, because we know that Christ had hair. I know for a fact that he had hair down to his shoulders, because I've seen him. I've seen a vision of him in the end time coming, and his hair was white and was long compared to our Greek haircuts today. It wasn't extremely long. He didn't look like a feminine species. He was very masculine. And his hair was well kept. And it was extremely white. But it was longer than the hair that we normally have today in our society. And so then, there's these things. When the army discovered that long hair on these Indian trackers, these native Indian trackers, which were by basically naturally, they'd instincted, their forefathers had learned these sensitive instincts and passed them down to their genealogies. And the Indians, the native Indians, make the best trackers in the world. Except when you go up to the high Himalayas, where men don't even have to be asked to know some things. They can stay underwater for hours, submerged fully underwater. They have mastered the mind. And the mind is an obedient muscle to them. The scriptures teach that you are what you think, and you can do all things through this ability that strengthens you. But we have given up somehow. Satan has taken us away from the old path. I'd like to see us all get back on it tonight. Let me give you some other things to ponder. Now, one of my friends up in Knoxville has passed this along in the series of earth changes. That's what we're talking about tonight, 20 and 12, the destiny of man after 20 and 12. What do we have to look forward to? What do we expect? What should we do to prepare ourselves? And here is something for you to really ponder. I've been in Greenland. This is what really caught my attention. When I seen it was an article about Greenland, I really perked up. Let me read you the article. It's fascinating. The sun has arrived 2 days early in Greenland, according to KNR Radio. It usually rises on January the 13th, but for some reason, this year it rose on January the 11th of the 11th year. Inhabitants from the area appeared worried when witnessing the strange phenomenon. The sun is not supposed to be here until January the 13th. Something isn't right, a 74-year-old local reported to KBR Radio. Some scientists believe that the melting of ice sheets is what has caused this phenomenon. The constellation of the stars has not changed overhead, and if it did, the data of Earth's axis and rotation would have been monitored minute by minute all over the world, said Wolfgang Linhart, head of the Geophysics Department at the Central Institute for Meteorology and for Geodynamics. Thomas Posch from the Institute of Astronomy at the University of Vienna suggested that the observation was due to the local horizon and was accelerated by melting ice sheets. Linhart also stated it could be an atmospheric phenomenon. Strange sight. For the first time in recorded history, the sun showed up 2 days earlier than it was supposed to do. One thing is for sure, the event continues to baffle the scientists who have struggled to come up with an explanation. They simply don't know. There's not enough about the story. It's never happened before. And until more information is available, it's safe to say that all explanations should be considered only as theories. And they lay the possible theories out. And I'm going to pick one of those theories and go into tonight's broadcast and show you exactly what's happening. One of the theories is that the melting ice sheets bring about, or brought about by global warming, has caused the sun to come quicker. Is it connected to the recent mass bird death phenomenon and other animals and things that you don't hear about, other humans that fall dead in groups here just lately? Was the sun just reflecting off the ice and the water at a higher temperature in the north? Or does it have something to do with 20 and 12 and the Earth's magnetic fields? Now, you decide what is going on in Greenland. We know, and I know, I've been there, and to see the pictures now as to what I saw 50 years ago, it's completely out of the norm in Greenland. In Greenland, we have what is called a very, very strange and wonderful, remote, beautiful island. It's the largest island in the world. Sorry about dropping my phone. And what we're getting in this day is a gradual warming since the early 70s. Great ice sheets, icebergs, and things of this nature are melting. Yet in other parts of the world, extreme colder temperatures are happening. And it seems like something is being twisted through magnetic shift. Just like we know that the magnetic north is now racing toward Mongolia. And they predict that it'll be 40 miles into, and this is completely out of the transit zone for the magnetic north. Something is happening at the top of the earth. Now, are we getting ready for some of the things that we've covered as the possibility of a pole shift or a magnetic pole shift? The north becoming south and the south becoming north. It could be so extreme if it happens, and 20 and 12 is the point of the crossing. And again, it matters because according to right now, 20 and 11, we're impelling the expedition of light acceleration and with massive interpretation of consciousness, like the Indian trackers. Without their antennae or their hair, they lost their ability to have a super conscious. But when it grew back, just like Samson, his strength returned when he grew his hair. It's a quickening time. The ascension is drawing nigh. The time of the great shift is here. We are in the age that the Messiah spoke about in Luke 22:10, when he said, when they asked him, when should we look for, or where should we prepare for the Passover? Now, this was amazing. When I hooked this up in a deeper thought process, when I was meditating and praying, the point of crossing is the point of the Passover. Right at the midpoint of the Milky Way, we have what is known as the sun in the very center of the Milky Way for the first time in 26,000 years. Isn't that amazing? I find it amazing. Now, right below that is what we call the dark or the black hole. It's amazing there. At this point in time, that the light will shine down into this enormous black hole. And those of you that know about the black holes and how much gravity pull that they have, that pulls in. What about if the light could trigger a mechanism? Let's just say that this black hole is a prison in the deep where Satan was cast by the angelic host and bound for a specific amount of time. And that at the point of crossing, the Passover, when it passed over this, it shone light, and somehow the light triggered the prison doors open, and out would emerge whatever was bound within. Well, the Bible says Satan was bound and taken to the deep. And he loves darkness. So they gave him exactly what he asked for. I mean, what he preferred, since he wanted to hide after the adulterous deed that he done in the very beginning. He's been elusive. But the vibrations and the shift is going to expose him. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not the worst time in the world. This is the best time. This time has to come. This transitional expansion of calibrated light and vibration is activating our own awareness and our willingness to be obedient to the light, to walk in and find rest. Now notice this. This is a new energy coming in on the planet. There's a new day dawning. Let us welcome the day. The kingdom is here to stay. The devil cannot repel the kingdom. We know that he's going to try. We know that he's going to do great things against those who have this deep vibrational meditative expansion that is coming upon the sons of light. This is only for the sons of light. This is why it comes down as it started in the beginning, light and darkness, in the beginning of the creation, that light came first, and then came darkness to overwhelm the light and to put out the light. In the end, it is the light returning, praise Yahweh, to this planet to give us a fair chance to excel or to perform in these ascending times. We have within us the power for greater is the light within you than the darkness that is prevailing upon the earth. Brought to you courtesy of the ones that love darkness. Now, the Illuminati, the enlightened ones, are a light unto themselves. They're a legend unto themselves. They're a power unto themselves. They're nothing but fakes. Do you know what the Bible says really is going to happen when we finally unveil Satan? You know what we're going to say? The Bible says, it tells us exactly what we're going to say. Is this the one? This little wimpy looking dude? Is he the one that brought the world to tremble at his presence? Is this the one that we've all been deceived by? The Bible said he shall deceive even the very elect if you'll let him. Now, how to express your love in this day when hate and fear and despising one another, hating one another, seeking to destroy and justifying it. You know, if a snake, let's say a rattlesnake, you know, he's got rattles on her just to warn you that he's a snake. These people that have the same ability to destroy you, but they don't have no rattlers. They don't give you no warning. So a rattlesnake in nature is not as dangerous as a Satan snake in sheep's clothes. Notice the devil. He does not want you to love your brother. I mean, he's always finding fault. That's the devil's game, to kill, to steal, and destroy. And we have become so weak and separated with this calloused world situation. The Bible said, don't turn to eating and drinking and being merry. When you see the day approaching, when you feel that activated awareness and light perception, can you feel the anointing? It's the power, the light coming down. This is important that we have the ability to express our love for our Creator. And if you say you love your Creator and don't love your brother, whom you have seen. Now, love will cover. But when we try to live in the darkness, we are falling from the love that begins within self. I know a lot of people, they want to love, but they're calloused. They've been hurt, they've been wounded. They don't want to be had anymore. But love is a continuous thing that begins with self, and we're beginning to understand how beautiful that we truly are, made so wonderful and so fearfully, and what greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his friends. Now, we can talk the talk, but when it comes to walking the walk, it's a different story. Beautiful. The immaculate love. Let it wash you and make you white. It's your calibrated birthright. Now listen to that. We'll use that word, calibrated. You were formed and calibrated to operate within the vibrational tones of the vibration, pre-calibrated, set. And what the devil has come, he's come and convinced us to uncalibrate our love for one another and to be renewed. If any man fall away, to renew him, seeing that he crucifies Christ afresh and counts his blood an unholy thing. If we lose this calibration of birthright, oh my, I love that. Calibrated birthright. I knew you before, I calibrated you before to love your brother and to love your sister and to love your family, the family of Yah, the greatest name in the universe. Hallelujah. It's a vibration within itself, and we are now rediscovering this beautiful name, this sound. And try it. And put a stethoscope to your chest and breathe. He's closer. It's beautiful that we have within us a calibrated breath that proclaims, that shouts with a soft whisper. It's an explosion. It's like a supernova happening with an explosion on the sun that sends out tons and tons of energy in the form of power and electricity. We're seeing how important our lives are to each other. I want you to see the vibrations of this deep meditative expansion that is overflowing into our physical realm to cause us to want to love each other, to cause us to be concerned about each other. Now, if you see me about to jump over the cliff and go with the world, you're to call me aside and you're to talk to me and to me alone. And then, if I won't hear you, go get you a couple of more brothers and come and sit down and have a talk. Not to destroy, not to root up, but to fertilize with love the weakness of your brother or your sister, and to see the vibrations will begin to overflow into the physical self, where we live with Christ in us, the hope of glory. Tenderly. Reaching through to touch the heart of each other. You know how David and Jonathan loved each other? And how they wept at their parting? Remember how they wept because they wouldn't see Paul's face no more? That he had told them some prophecies. He was going to Rome to die. I won't be back this way no more. And yet him knowing that he was on his final journey, he was more than a conqueror, because this profound experience that he had closed the veil to open between the dimensions. That veil had thinned, that he could see through it darkly, but he could see. And the joy and the magnificent love that he had for his brothers to go on his way, knowing that his message would be left for centuries for us brothers and sisters to proclaim. And now in the time of the crossing, we're not home yet. This is not the end. This is halfway across the cycle. We're 13 ticks on the vibrational scale. We are about to enter the time of the calibrated birthright to have our hair to grow, or to have these attachments, which is strands of hair, if you will. We have up here in the atomic city of Oak Ridge, which is just about 35 miles above me here, we have a museum of atomic energy. And they take the school children in and teach them the physics of the future into nuclear. We're now from atomic to nuclear. And now we're even beyond that. But anyway, they've got a little thing that you put your hand on. And when the children put their hand on this little machine, a surge of energy goes to, it's visible, their hair stands on its head, like you're scared to death. And it delights the little children to have their hair stand up, especially the girls who have long hair. It just stands straight up, like there's an energy in it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's what's happening. The veil between the dimensions is now thinning, and we are at the point of a calibrated birthright, and we're fixing to get an infusion of our DNA back to 12 strands, where we're only operating with 2, 10 missing, and we're about to have a rediscovering of the immaculate love that casts out fear. Oh my. Praise Yahweh. We're on the path. Now, you've often doubted yourself. Satan's trying to tell you. You felt like your life was headed nowhere. If you only knew what's laid up for you. If you only knew how loved you were. I know it sounds strange because of the callous ways you've been treated. But there's strong men with strong love, tough love we call it, that are looking out for you. Do not hate those men that want better for you now than what you've got. Don't hate the ones that throw you in the deep water to swim. You'll never learn to swim until you swim. And the best way, my brother proved that to me on the Ohio River back in the 40s. I learned to swim because he threw me in. And I learned to swim. Often, that's tough love. I hated him. I was terrified. Kicking and screaming and... Of course, I didn't realize that he could have probably jumped in and saved me, but at least, I mean, he exposed me to danger. If my mom and dad would have known that, they'd have beat the tar out of him, and I sure wasn't going to tell him because he would have beat the tar out of me. You know, that's the way life is in the natural. That's the way that it's so important for us to see the transitional expansion that's occurring right now. The opportunities are greater now for you to excel than has ever been since the days of the Apostolic Fathers, who were blessed with the vibrations of calibrated birthright, special signs and miracles wrought by the hands of the apostles. It died out. Well, so did our vision. The veil of the dimensions was so dark, we were so alone, we were headed nowhere, and we became doubters and naysayers, and we became blind and unachieving. We couldn't make the mark. It's been years and years and years since there's been a spiritual movement of profound truth. We've had movements, but they only gathered us up and brought us into the hen house where the fox was sitting on the throne. Still that way. The devil, if you let your right hand know what your left hand's doing, the devil will carry it and the devil will be on your trail. Make sure that this different frequency and paradigm that we're moving into, that we are responsible and that we will comprehend what is to our own achievement, to recognize it and walk in and find rest for our soul. Few dare to go there. Now, 2011, we're here. It's an exciting year that's coming up. It's going to be a period of quickening. It's going to be a period of extreme hardship. The closer you get to the end of the race run that you might obtain, your lungs are bursting. You want to stop the run. You want to release the pressure and the burning of the lung. That's the way that you learn to operate at a higher frequency. You've got to expand those lungs, those spiritual lungs, that you can breathe in and live off the air or the oxygen or the frequency. We're in the year from 2010, 2011, and 2012 when we sense a rigorous training cycle that is going to allow us to strengthen and increase our fields of sensitivity so that at the point of the ascension, meaning the fullness of the time, when Yahweh Himself is going to take away the blindness. Now, we're not talking about physical blindness. We're talking about the inability to see into the fifth dimension from the third. Somehow, Yahweh is going to let the dimension thin down to where we can see the reality of serving Yahweh, even to sacrificing our lives, knowing that it's for a noble cause. Oh, when you get people that's not afraid to lay their life down, when you get people that will walk up into the lion's den and open the mouth of the lion and check his molars and flip him on the nose a couple of times just to let him know that you don't fear him, the devil has long been too feared when we should fear Yahweh. Adam began to fear the devil when he ran from Yahweh. It's time for Adam and his sons and daughters to return back from whence they came. Adam walked with Yahweh in the beginning. Then when he fell through transgression, he began to hide. He began to dress in the world clothing. That ascension that we've talked about, that calibrated adjustment that needed now for you to survive. We are right in the accelerating planetary shift of consciousness at the point of the crossing, where Yahweh said in, again, Luke 22:10, you'll meet me there for the Passover. When the light passes over the dark field at Satan, the light is a trigger. It opens up the dimension, and the sons of Yahweh will now begin to see that Satan is nothing but a big bully. Resist him, and he'll flee from you. You don't have no help. When you start out on your struggles to prove your worthiness to Yahweh, it's like crawling the infiltration course of your life. You've got to be willing to lay down not only your family and your friends, sacrifice them. That's easy. But sacrifice yourself to become a new creature, accelerating your consciousness as if you're climbing Jacob's ladder, as if the result is for you and you alone, that you're the only one, as Elijah imagined, that he was the only one left that loved Yahweh. You may be pleasantly surprised when you come online, when you accelerate to the energy and the consciousness that's going to be required for you to pass over. You might meet some of those Alpha Omegas, the beginning and enders, the ones that don't fear, the ones that walk in deep dimensional expansions, the ones that have set their face like flintstone against all the opposition that the devil, the world, your family, your friends has to throw against you. Keep looking up. Keep pressing toward the mark. It's a higher, more fulfilling expression of love. Something that the world doesn't have. The ascension triggers are now coming into focus. We're almost at the point of the ascension program that Yahweh wove into the photon belt. As we pass through this very, very real photon belt. And this year, I want you to pay attention, and I've got to close. My time has already come and gone. There remains, if you will, a time, and we're in it right now, this year, 2011, that the equinoxes and the solstices of 2011 are exceptionally powerful this year. These particular trigger mechanisms are so powerful that you don't want to miss one of those celebrations. For these days, which are used for prayer, fasting, and meditation, and deep searching inward review of yourself. Not someone else, but yourself. It's time for you to lay aside all of your sins. Quit pointing at others and lay aside your sins and go into your closet and pray and fast until you hear from heaven. And then the solstices and the equinoxes remaining in the year to come will be complex and flamed with the inserts that it takes, like climbing a pole with a pair of climbers. I used to watch in the early 40s when we got power to our home, electricity, 1947. I can remember standing out in our wheat field and the power company coming with an army truck, a surplus army truck. After the war, these utilities were given these four-wheel drive. I'd never seen one. They carried the pole down on top of the truck. And they took a winch and a cable and five or six men and set the pole. They climbed it after it got it set. And they began to hook the wires. That's what we need. Powerful. In times, discern and catch the wave. To do it in the name of Yahweh and to be blessed in doing it. You've got my message tonight. I love you very much. I'll see you tomorrow night around the world on WWRB 3.185, 10 o'clock tomorrow night. And we will be back starting tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. And if our mind don't change, a part six. Tonight's a part five. And we love you. We appreciate you for setting up and receiving our message tonight. Think about what I said. Let's come together in the name of Yahweh. Let's come together with power. Let's pray. And let's hope that Yahweh is our blessing. Thank you.